couple thousand years ago, John, he faced the challenge because the world at that time, the Christian or the believer, they had to deal with the social network at that time, and environment, the culture at that time. So when he wrote the letter to the church, and when it get to 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 to 24, when I read this passage, I said, why is it exactly like the world we live today? Because at that time, the people, because of the culture, because of environment, they have the most painful accusation, and it starts from the heart, okay? When they get the influence from the outside, eventually it gets into inside, and from the heart, it's just like today, you know? Sometimes we remember what people say, or something we said, or the mistake we made, and that keep coming back. And eventually, it influenced us. So the question we would ask, if we today, exactly the same like the people from the past, how we take sin seriously without living under the constant condemnations, how can we examine ourselves honestly, without becoming spiritual paralyzed? And how can we know we really belong to God? So people, 1,000 years ago, they have this kind of question, and I believe people today also face the same thing. So John, he addressed exactly this question, especially in 1 John chapter 3, verse 19-24. I'm not quite sure your guy had the PowerPoint or not. If not, I will send it out in pretty details. And he said, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So then he turned our relationship with other people to what happened inside our heart. Because the lesson today, or the sermon today, is just don't let the outside influence you. So somehow become you with all the negative thing, all the condemnation it happened. So he very much go through, I call it a progression. Okay, when initially the thinking about condemnation, and somehow you lose an assurance, and you lost confidence, and you no longer pray, and you lose like obedience to God, and you lost the abiding and the Holy Spirit. So hopefully the sermon today, I hope you can see three truths through the passage to stabilize what inside of us, the heart of every believer, include you and I. So three truths we go through. True number one, God is greater than our heart. And the Bible talking about this is how we know that we long to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest with his presence. I bow that one. And but the next line, if our heart condemns us, we know that God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. So notice the reality in the scripture. John, he didn't say, a Christian heart will never condemn him. But he said, whenever our heart condemns us. So John here understands the believers sometimes struggle with the assurance, with the thought in our mind. Nobody see it. But he understands it happened for the people in the past. It would happen for the people today. So sometimes we're thinking about the opportunity we miss. And sometimes our heart become the prosecutor. But John, he gave us assurance that all the truth, your heart is not God. Your feeling is real, okay? Everybody have feeling. The feeling is real. Your conscience is also real. But the examination of your heart is so important. But remember, he talking about you had a feeling. I agree with that. John also agreed. Yes, everybody had a feeling. But the feeling is not the highest authority. God is. So he said God is greater than our heart. So let's go back to the definition a little bit in terminology. Conviction. Sometimes I have conviction. So sometimes when you read the Bible, God convict you and say, this is sin. So the solution, confess to him, turn away from it, and come back to God. But condemnation, you are hopeless. You bad. That condemnation, okay? God, but this is the most dangerous one. If it happened in your mind, God does not want you anymore. Stay away. Okay, that condemnation. Conviction point to repentance and restoration. But condemnation attack identity. Your identity, my identity. And drive us away from God. And you need to really nail the terminology. So at least when suddenly somebody come to you, they may use the term conviction. But if they said you are bad with me or based on John, that condemnation. Some of you the parent, okay? You need to use the terminology to help your child or your children, conviction, so he can be changed and restoration, but not say certain thing you really condemn him. And that condemnation probably will carry to the rest of his life or her life or their life. One example, the courthouse, the courtroom. You need to imagine with me, the judge have reviewed entire case. The evidence has been present. Finally, he did a verdict, or he does a verdict, and say, you're not guilty. You're free to go. So two things can happen when the guy or the girl or the person walk out of the room, okay? Somehow he still feel like condemned. Okay? That's real. It can happen. But remember, John is talking about your feeling does not possess the greatest legal authority than the verdict of the court. When the judge said, you're free, you're not guilty, walk out of the room, just rejoice, you're not guilty. Even though your feelings said, my goodness, I'm lucky this time, okay? But when the term you use in your mind, oh man, I'm lucky this time, it might not be the next one with me, that condemnation. It happened, okay? So as a Christian, we need to learn, yes, we have a feeling. Our heart does not the supreme court of the universe. God is the church of the whole universe, not your heart or not your feeling. Just remember that you'll be okay. That reason why Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Maybe you have sin past, but when you believe in Jesus Christ, your sin has been forgiven with God. But however, your relative, your neighbor, they may not think so. Okay, it may take 3 years, 7 years, 20 years, but whenever you walk out there, they still talk, and most of the talk is condemnation. And you have to remember, God is supreme being. When he set you free from sin, your sin is forgiven, it's been forgiven. The people may not forget, but it would take time. Just remember the story of Paul. You all know Paul. He's a great apostle. Okay? He was a religious man, and he condemned the Christian. He's the one very much like the one who kills thief. That's this, okay? In the Bible. It is still in the Bible. Okay, he the one, the young people, hooray, hooray, you know, kill the guy, that kind of thing. Okay, and he the one who go to the court and try to get the paperwork to condemn the Christian. And then he met Christ. His life changed. Okay, and he began to very, very hard go out there and talk about Christ. What exactly the Christian, the believer at that time, what exactly do they think about him at that time? Do they trust him? No, they don't trust him at all. Okay, he's the one who promote or kill Steve in the book of Acts. He's the one who run around and try to jail or capture the Christian. And now suddenly he said he believed in Christ, he changed, and he talked about Christ. People not believe in that. So exactly what he did. Okay, if you read the book of Acts, he moved to Tarsus. Okay, he resigned whatever he did. He go to Tarsus and he worked like the normal person. After 3-4 years, people begin to recognize maybe he really changed. Okay? And Barnabas go to Tarsus and find the Paul and take Paul to the church and begin to work with Barnabas, work with Paul. So if you read the book of Acts, it always initially Barnabas and Paul. So it's made Barnabas responsible for Paul. Later in the book of Acts, you begin to see Paul and somebody. It's me now. He get fully trusted. Same thing. Your sin have been forgiven. You're a changed person. But it may take time for the people to trust you. Just read the Bible, especially the story of Paul. Okay? And remember, our salvation very much rely on Christ, not your own ability. It rests upon Christ. And also remember, God knows everything. Okay? He knows your thinking, your motive, your success, your failure, your secret struggle. He knows. Okay? But again, like the second statement, his grace toward his children is not based on incomplete information. Okay? He know Paul truly believe in Jesus Christ and change. He have full information, but the people may not. don't have passive information. So he knows all of that. So if any unconfessed sin, confess it. And truly repentance, trust God's promise. Okay? And the feeling had not caught up with God's promise yet. But God promised always true. So that's reason why I always talk with the Christian or the church member. The feeling, my feeling had not caught up with God's promise yet. But God promised to true. So instead of run away from God in fear, we begin to run toward Him in confidence. And now we get to point number two. Approach God with confidence. Verse 21-22. Dear friends, if our heart does not or do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. Notice the movement of the Bible. Verse 20, condemnation. And went to verse 21, confidence. And what the gospel is all about, it changed the way we approach God. Okay? Go back to definition a little bit. When a person has confidence, it's not arrogant. Okay? John, he's not saying, I have been such a good Christian that God gave me or owed me something. Okay? Because a Christian confidence is not based on spiritual performance, but based on relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Some of you had a kid. Okay, we have one kid sitting here. Okay, let's just say the kid in the house, and the stranger, you know, knock on the door and say, "Hey, kid," they call the exact correct name. "I am your father." And the child looked through whatever. I don't know, at my house, it always had a section so the kid can, is that the right person? So will he open the door? No, because the stranger. But if his father knocked on the door, because sometimes the parents said, if somebody knocked on the door, don't open it. Here, the thing you need to look through. Okay, so the child looked through and said, "Whoop, yeah, this is my father." He would open the door. Why? Because he had a confidence. This is my father. He not harmed me. Okay? So that reason why, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, let us then be confident, draw near to the throne of Christ. So we welcome Christ. We come to God, to come to Christ. Why? Because Christ is our Savior and God is our Father. So when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible said, you become the children of God. Okay? So you have an earth father, but you also have a heavenly father. Earth father, you're confident, you open the door. Heavenly father, you know. He would bless you, protect you in whatever which way. Some of you, you know, when I'm in, you know, back vacation, the cruise ship thing. How many people go to the cruise? Okay, good. You understand what I'm talking about in the next illustration. There's a concert. Imagine with me, okay? In that cruise ship. And the guy played guitar. And that guitar out of tune. Okay? What exactly the guitarist does? He tells everybody, the piano guy, the cello, the violin, tune your equipment, you know, to synchronize with my out of tune guitar. No, it won't happen. He had to tune the guitar to fit the whole concert room. Okay? So the same thing, prayer. It's the same thing. Prayer works similar way like the guitar guys, you know, tune his guitar. Because why? Because sometimes we ask God to change our circumstances or change another person or an opportunity. But I would recommend you would add in, God, Lord, I ask you to change my circumstances. Yeah, of course, had to change the circumstances. But also tune my heart. Okay? The two things had to happen. So the true definition of prayer is mean align our heart with God's wills. Okay? So yes, me all the time I pray my wife change. You know, maybe some of you will laugh, but you understand when I get married, my first prayer, God, give me about a year. She need to match whatever. Man, I'm praying for over 50 years, 45 years, and finally we about close, but not that close. Okay, she still have her own character, I still have my own, but we agree something in the middle so we can laugh or we can share things. Okay? So, like, you know, we move closer and closer together and focus on Christ. So hopefully someday we'll be one single point, but right now it's much better. So when I thinking about this, I say, oh my goodness, sometimes I pray, I only focus on me. God, you better answer my prayer. But now my prayer is, God, okay, tune my heart so I understand your will. Tune my heart because I understand God's will, so I would understand my wife. And my wife pray the same thing. Okay? So that's the excitement of the marriage. Okay? You and I don't know, but when I see this young couple just get married, Lord, change this person. Put the name on it. Lord, open the door. But sometimes the door is not open. But now tune my heart. Lord, I would ask you to change my circumstances. Please tune my heart. Prayer aligned our heart with God's wills. So I put the statement to help me to remember, because sometimes we talk a lot, but we don't remember things. So say, mature prayer allows us to transform me until I increasingly want what he wants or know what he wants. And what does life that please God actually look like? Okay? Believe in Jesus, love one another, and abide in God through the Spirit he given us. I don't know about you, but I always have the question. I keep questioning why, and I try to find the answer. So third point, abide in Christ. How do we abide in Christ? For what? Live by faith, love, obedience, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible talking about. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands, live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Notice how he summarized the whole thing. Only two directions. Believe in Christ. Love one another. So faith, we look up for Christ. Love reaches outward toward the people. So these two persons, you sit real close, husband and wife, look at this other. Okay? It means love one another outward toward the people. If you cannot do it for between husband and wife, it would be very, very difficult when you say you love somebody else out there. Okay? When you live together, uncapped conflicts, but when you pray to God to resolve the conflict, you get closer together. Okay? So I'm defined something like this. Faith reach upward. Love reach outward. And the outward closer to you, it can be your wife, your spouse, can be your parent, your brother and sister in your family. So remember, Christianity begins with Christ, the Son of God, Christ, Savior, and Lord. Assurance does not begin with, I'm good enough, but with trust in the one sufficient to save. And thirdly, the true faith had to produce fruit, and we call it fruit of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it had to produce love, forgive, serve, give, and honor of that. Okay? Number four, John, remember, he refused to separate the doctrine and the discipleship. Okay, one of the examples you have to imagine with me, this is a branch on the ground, 6 inches away from the grapevine. And it is in the vineyard. It's surrounded by healthy branches. It may look similar to the branches attached to the vine, but there is the big difference. It is disconnected. So even the vine or the branch, 6 inches from the vineyard or the grapevine, but because it's not disconnected, it would not bear fruit. Okay? Especially when we're talking about the family, the Christian family. The children might grow up near Christianity. The children might grow up close to the Christian parent. But remember, the branch, does not live, even though it's near the vine. It lives because it's connected to the vine. Okay? The children might grow up. They may attend Sunday school. They may attend youth group or summer camp, youth camp. They may memorize scripture. Okay? They may have Christian parent and grandparent. They may know the terminology or the vocabularies of the Christian. But be close to the parent faith is not the same as a person trusting in Christ. The children cannot live forever on the borrowed faith. So what I try to communicate, be the parent, you have to represent Christ. They have to see through your talk, your action, your work, every aspect of life. So basically at some point, every person might answer, do I personally believe in Jesus Christ? Starting in September, after worship service, each parent would have about 2 sheets of paper, basically 8x10 and 4.5. Something the parent need to study or talk with your kid. Okay? That will happen in September, initially in English. Okay? Very, very basic, easy, and have a conversation. And October or November time frame, there's another sheet for grandparent. So if grandparent want to talk with grandkid, they have some too. Okay, and on prepare. We try in English first, and after that, we do in Vietnamese. We'll be bilingual to help. Because it has to get down to the family. Especially, we're talking about faith. Initially, very, very basic, just the doctrine foundation, maybe one Bible verse, study together and just talk. Kid, what do you think? What do you learn? Very, very simple. Dr. Tu would help. And hopefully after about a year, we have the whole book, A Parent for Grandparent. Okay? And more than that, starting September, the adult, you want to sign up for the class. The first course will be a spiritual formation. Okay? We need to get it down to the lowest level to help us as a parent or young adult so we can help other people and eventually the Bible to study. And then a little bit of theology would be the four courses and how to share the gospel, how to self-study the Bible, the step, something like that. Okay, it would be online. You do your own study, a question. If you answer the question correctly, and then they move to the next courses. They're very simple, okay? And hopefully, once a month, we get together on Zoom or at the church. Any question, just open and just talk about it, okay? But remember, September will be 8.5 by 11, full 2-page for parents, okay? Or you not had the children yet, just pick up and get prepared, okay? So the Holy Spirit confirmed that we are belong to God. John, he in the passage, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So from the picture of assurance become the foundation, Jesus Christ and God promised. So we have a visible fruit, faith, love, and obedience. And we have eternal divine witness and the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the function, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit to point us to Christ. Okay? So the Christian assurance, look at Christ as foundation. So through that you see love, obedience, and fruit, and recognize the Holy Spirit as God present within us. So John, I love John when he wrote this letter. He begins with condemning heart, and then we discover God is greater than our heart and give us the confidence to God. And from the confidence, it leads us to prayer. And the prayer becomes the shape of obedience. And the obedience summarized by faith in Christ and love for one another. And underneath of all the thing we're talking about this morning, the presence of the Holy Spirit. So hopefully you remember three truths. True number one, if your heart or when your heart condemns you, remember God greater than your heart. Trust in him rather than the feeling. Okay? Number two, when your heart is assured, approach God with confidence through your prayer. Okay? With that confidence. And thirdly, when you abide in Christ, live by faith, love, obedience, and remember, you have the Holy Spirit, guidance, foundation of everything, okay? So, if today you have saying, or somebody tell you, and somehow you believe it, okay? They said, you fail. Some of you in college, just start college, you don't have the test yet. Just remember, God said, confess your sin and return to him. Coming back to him. If your heart say you are not good enough, the gospel said Christ is enough. Okay? If somebody is come to you and talk about and somehow get in your mind and you begin to think about it, sometimes like, oh, God does not want you anymore. Okay? And then come to Christ, the throne of Christ. Okay? So if you need anything to confess, the Bible talking about, or John talking about, confess today. Okay? So abide in Christ. That's the key. To keep your heart close to Him. Because when you abide in Christ, you eventually have sin foundation of the character of God. Okay? Most of your work, you have a confidence because you serve Christ. Because His promise in His word. And the key, remember, when you believe in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you to understand God's word. The Holy Spirit would help you to our knowing right or wrong. Okay? So hopefully you get hold of what John communicated to the people 1,000 years ago. So I'm going to read again the key verses to help you to remember. When our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. When we are assured in Christ, we can approach the Father with confidence. And as we abide in Him, faith, love, obedience, and the Holy Spirit bear witness that we truly belong to God. Let us stand up so we can pray together. And Father, we thank you very much. Because through the very long section, sermon, and John letter, but it coming down to three words, abiding in Christ. So our character will change, so we can face the future with confidence to finish His work, because we have the promise from Him, and we have the Spirit, Holy Spirit, for us to rely on Him. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be upon the people in this room from now and forever. Amen.